We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
It's not a good enough word. Something better than awesome. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. But I'll start by saying I'm okay. I'm okay being old-fashioned. Anybody else okay being old-fashioned around here? I'm exhausted, so I'm going to need a little bit of interaction to keep me moving. I believe still that we have to strive for holiness. I believe that it's important that we are called out and separate. I still believe in honor and respect for the house of God. I believe it matters. The temple of the Holy Ghost. And church, that's you and me. We're going to talk about that tonight. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Translation, you've taken on Christ. Don't take that name in vain. You're now the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you. This temple's not made with man's hands. And this Holy Ghost, you have it from God. Therefore, you're not your own. You know, Paul clearly had issues with the church at Corinth. If you read the prior chapter, there was all kinds of issues with fornication, and not just that, but they were glorifying in it. There was division. And he tells them to purge it out. We're going to talk about purging out flaws in our temple tonight. He tells them in the same vein, and he explains to them that this sin is against their body. It's against the Holy Ghost. It's against God. And I'll say it again, and then, Pastor, I'll have you pray. You're not your own. We have Paul telling the church at Corinth that they're not the mayor of their own city, but he's telling us, as we read this tonight, this word that became flesh and dwelt among us, this message is for us too. Pastor, will you? Amen. Please be seated. I'm preaching tonight on being a temple of God's Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And lately, my prayers, I've got like a prayer list that I try and go through because I get the prayer distractions, and everybody has it. But the first couple, three things, they say, it's your breath in my lungs. And the next one says, help me to honor your image. And that's as I represent myself. I am made in his image, fearfully. And as I speak to my wife, she was made in his image. And these ways of approaching prayer can recalibrate me. I need this. And as I was thinking about this, I thought I would weave that in. 1 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye?" In the Old Testament, there were six cities of refuge, and I believe Pastor has talked about this a number of times. These cities were six cities that were a place of refuge where people would flee in case of an unintentional death or an unintentional murder. They would be fleeing from the avenger. The avenger was someone in the family of the deceased who then was to avenge the blood. And they would flee to these cities as a city of refuge until there could be a trial, a fair trial. The church is that refuge. This is a symbol. This is a type and a shadow of you today. Church, you are that city of refuge that you could help save those, being that temple, being that city of refuge before the day of judgment. And I'm going to start with a confession. I'm going to start with a story of my inadequacy, a confession of sorts to be open and to share for learning. To confess my faults. Tonight, for this, I think to change each and every one of us, I need you to be in that same mind. Each and every one of us approach this altar, this church, and we have our flaws. And as we take inventory, we realize that we are so unrighteous. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. You have to be open to what the word will expressly speak to you tonight. So really, what are the faults in your temple here this evening? Pastor really caught me off guard Sunday, and I don't remember. I think it was Sunday evening. Pastor really caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for this one. I wasn't. There's work chaos. And when I say work chaos, it's capital C with a lot of capital letters behind it. A massive project at home, you know, replacing everything from the house through the septic system all the way out to a new mound. The last couple of weeks, I've realized that I've been a little distant, a little coldish in my time allocated to prayer and my time allocated to preparation and to being in a temple. And so Sunday night after church, I praise sing the double header, and that pastor said, "Will you be here Wednesday? Do you have one for us?" And I said, "I would be honored." And I was on my knees, and I have the Holy Spirit in me telling me that I should have been praying and fasting more, and it punched me like an anvil. And I'm just trying to be honest tonight, okay? Everybody else at times in your life, you have these issues. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm off on a far island, backsliding, stepping out, just being crazy. I'm just saying I haven't been able to get up lately and put in the time that I need to truly be the separate holy temple that the Lord expects me to be. If you're singing a solo and you find yourself praying more, if you're the man that's going to be preaching and you find yourself fasting more, if you're doing any of these things, teaching a Bible study, it's maybe we have it a little bit wrong. Maybe we have our priorities a little bit wrong. Has anybody been there? Am I just alone on the island? The Lord's drawn us to be a continual holy temple. So like I said, I'm preaching about being a true temple of the Holy Spirit. If duty, and sometimes with the men when we meet, I talk about duty versus love, but if duty drives us to a deeper relationship, I feel we're missing the mark. If praise singing is why we're here early or at all, somebody's preaching with me, we're missing the mark, folks. If you're here because the pastor has good oratorial skills, you're missing the mark. We're here for him, not him. No offense, pastor. If you're not here because the pastor does not have good oratorial skills, you're really missing the mark. Have you prayed for the pastor lately? Have you prayed for the anointing to fall on the pastor so he could speak into you through the anointing that the Lord gives him? If fasting and prayer happens during crisis, missing the mark. And, you know, we're on this journey for one reason, to be a light in the darkness, to worship the Lord, and to be a place for the Spirit of God that can rest on us in this temple, as I open with the holy temple of Christ. Brother East was here from Texas a little while ago. He said, "I just want him to be proud of me." He said, "I just want him to look at me and say, I'm proud of you, son. I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to see me as actions, a man that has actions that are acceptable." So let me ask you a question. If the Lord came back right now, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what within you, what deepest secret that you have is keeping your temple from being as clean and as holy as the Lord wants it to be? The question is really, how white is your linen? Is this okay, church? If the Lord came back right now, are you truly ready? Or is your temple decorated just enough out of duty, out of a duty to make it look like a temple, but not really going deep to use the choicest materials as we are given as a pattern in the Old Testament? The choicest materials, use the wood, the acacia wood, wrap it in gold, use this type of linen, weave the linen. This is a foreshadow and a type and shadow of how we are to prepare this tabernacle, this temple. We cannot be going through the motions, and I'm really sorry I'm fidgeting with this thing, but my ears must be a different size. We can't just go through the motions. And as you know by now, I listen to my parents' pastor quite a bit, Pastor Harpel. He's been here a couple of times, and during COVID, you know, we were listening to him a lot, in addition to what we provided here at this church from home church. And I'm going to try and read this because I didn't want to butcher it, but he goes, "Listen, church, I've been in this thing far too long." He says, "You know, I'm a preacher's kid. My daddy preached. I grew up under the pew, sleeping under the pew." He says, "I've seen too many people play church. I've seen it, and I can see right through it. A couple, three times between March and now, in the sermons that he has delivered, he's talked about us truly being the church here. But when we go home, what does our church look like? And this will preach because, you know, I don't have this skill. I won't profess to have this skill, but he knows who's going through the motions. He knows whose temple is truly clean with white linen. And he knows who's here just to be politically expedient because this thing could become a social construct. Matthew 7 and 23 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. I've used this scripture a number of times, but the no here is an intimate no. It's a no like Adam knew Eve. He only knows those that are truly holy, that are clean, that are separate for his purpose. Like I said, in the Old Testament, we had a pattern to follow. Wrap the wood with gold. Do it this way. Be specifically the way that I've given it to you. And we have plenty of examples all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament of what we are to be a holy temple, separate from the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. I'm not getting into specific doctrine tonight. I'm not going to say this is black and white. This is not the message. The message is, you know, search for your own salvation with fear and trembling, but make no mistake, being separate and being holy as the temple of Christ is specifically what we are called to do. If you would go to Haggai, nobody's thumb was in Haggai. Haggai 2. Years ago, a year, two, 3 years ago, I was in prison. Teaching, not in prison. Wow. I was in the prison down the road here. And I actually did a lesson on, I don't know if it was on the temple. It was something about the temple, and Brother Stiles was with me. And I was going through this scripture, and I'll read it in a second, but this man, he's probably my age. I'll be careful here. He's from the South. He just broke. He starts weeping and sobbing. And I think Brother Stiles said, I've never seen him do that before. And I was reading the scripture. Let me read the scripture to give better context. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes a comparison of it as nothing? And so I read that, and I was talking about how our temple has to be clean and it has to be perfect, just like God expects in the highest glory that we could give it. And I looked at the guys in the room and I said, have you guys been there and now you wish you could get back? I said, who remembers their temple in its former glory? And he broke. And he started crying. And I, you know, what do you do, right? So you can't do a lot. You got to be very careful and respect privacy. But he said, I'm from the South. He explained where he was from. He said, my parents are United Pentecostal Church preachers. I grew up in this. He said, I used to be involved with a youth group. And he sat there and sobbed. Okay, what do you do with that? And I looked at him and I said, don't you think this is God's mercy? He started to say more than he's supposed to, and I tried to redirect. I said, don't you think this is God's mercy to allow one day for you to maybe hit rock bottom, to be back right now sobbing, crying about, I wish I could get back to my former glory? We're talking tonight about being the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you miss the time when your temple had more glory, seize the moment while there's still time to seize that moment and to get back. Pivot a little bit to instruction. How do we do this? What are we instructed to do so that we are a holy temple of Christ? First of all, we must be holy. So I'm going to start with a little bit of foundation in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It doesn't say without which some people. It doesn't say without which just a few people here and there. It says, without the holiness in the middle of the scripture, No man shall see the Lord. In this book of Hebrews, we're learning that this isn't an option. This isn't if I feel like it. And sometimes we hear the term, that's not salvational. I won't go extremely deep here, but like I said, I'm not going to get into expectations or specific standards or rules. I'm not a legalist, but I rebuke the statement. If someone decides to say that it's okay to blend in and it's okay to be coy and have no separation in the way you act, in the way you speak, in the places you go, I could do this all night. It's against expressly what we hear right here in Hebrews 12, which without being holy, which literally means to be separate. We cannot see the Lord. Now, this is why I started. I told Kristen I started scribbling things down. I changed everything. This is why, you know what? I'm okay to be old-fashioned. Who shall I seek to please? God or men? In Depart From Me, the scripture I read a second ago, which is Matthew 7 and 23, these are people that said, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. Lord, we did wonderful works in your name. Church, these are people that lived a life following God's precepts. But what did they not subscribe to? Perhaps they did not subscribe to that we have to be holy such that we can see the Lord. Maybe they took the Lord, but they didn't take the Lord and his power and his separation and his conviction. But instead, they took it and it felt good in the world, but they didn't put up any guardrails to be separate such that the Lord could look at them and say, that linen is white. The temple's holy, we must be holy. Holy literally means set apart. And as I said, come out from among them and be separate. And at the end of that scripture, he says, and I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters. What do we have to do? Like I said, we have to break covenants with the world. And we have to restore holiness in our temple. And for each person that is listening, that's different for each of us. We have different covenants and agreements that we've made with this world. And we have to break those and we have to redefine what our covenants are going to be with the Lord in separation and in holiness such that that's what defines us as a child of God and not the world and the constructs within the world that define you as you wake up. What drives you? As you wake up, do you go to your knees or do you go to a Zoom conference call? And like I confessed, the last 2 or 3 days this week, I'm up before 6 o'clock on video with people all over the world. And I haven't had the time. And so here I am confessing, saying, what defines me and is my temple truly clean and white and pure and separate? Holiness is your motivations. You have a love to do God's work and you don't just feel like you need to be doing it out of duty. And let me be clear, if you think holiness, being separate from an evil world is a restriction, I'm gonna step on somebody's toes here. But if you think it's a restriction, then you're doing the thing all wrong. Because back to love versus duty, I want to be the bride that shows up on the marriage supper, at the wedding in the white dress. Holiness is uprooting the lies of the enemy, breaking covenants with the world that whispers in your ear that you're okay to blend in. And holiness is knowing that you put your shoulder to the plow and you're doing God's work, but you're not going to look back because you want him to call you worthy. Being a temple of the Holy Ghost is presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12 and 1 for our note takers. Just a quick story, but back to being a bride. Holiness is wanting to be the bride that shows up in a white dress set aside for the groom. And so that's weird to the guys in here, but okay. I'm on a trip recently, a year or two ago, with one of my former bosses. And we were far away, and there was this fancy gala dinner, whatever. And we had a long bus ride, and we sat together. He's a great guy, but he's Italian. And he looked at me, and he said, Kurt, why don't you drink alcohol? And I explained to him that I said, imagine you were going to be married. I said, imagine you have been waiting for the man your entire life. He was the one you loved, and you could not wait to walk down the aisle. I said, what would you wear? And this is a true story. Because I don't know how to address, I mean, I could sit here and quote scripture and be, you know, I could talk about, you know, not consuming strong drink, and the Bible explicitly says that we're not to be drunken with wine. I could do that. But I said, wouldn't you want to wear a white dress because you're so excited to walk down the aisle and be married? He goes, well, yes. And I said, well, to me, I said, have you ever heard anybody the next morning say, I'm really glad that I consumed all of that, and they were really happy about how they felt? He said, no. I said, it's a choice. It's religious. It's the way it's my faith, but it's the way I raise my kids. I said, but it's just who I am. And I'm telling you that to give you a picture, not to be condescending, not to be preachy, but we have to look at it that way. We have to be willing to realize that we really are the bride of Christ. And if our dress has stains all over it from anything, it isn't just duty. It isn't a rule or a restriction. It's the thing that we're to do to set ourselves to be ready for that day. When he calls us, we want to be worthy when he calls us. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you were the preacher next week, the priest, do you have to make changes? If pastors come into your house, what do you have to clean up? I'm preaching about us being the temple of the Holy Ghost to rest on us when we're at church, when we're at school, when we're at the office, or when we're at home with the door closed. If you could go with me to 2 Kings, one of my last scriptures. I'm going fast because somebody who I love said, make it snappy, I don't like my mask. If you notice anything different about me, she gave, am I okay? Are we good? She gave me constructive criticism of all of my tics and my habits, and I'm trying to not do them. I don't know if this is one of them, but I'm pretty sure it's on the list. So I'm different. Can you tell? I'm in so much trouble. 2 Kings 22, I'm going to go to 23, but holiness is being able to uproot the evil in your life and springing up anew and afresh. And so I'm going to tell you what happens in 2 Kings 22. Many of you know the story, but this is about our buddy Josiah. He allocates money to rebuild the temple. You know, it talks in the beginning of 2 Kings 22 about how he did right in the eyes of the Lord, and it kind of juxtaposed how that was dissimilar to so many other people that preceded him. I don't remember, I don't have the notes. I think he took over when he was something like 7 or 8 years old. And we pick up when he's like 18 or so, but he's allocating money to rebuild the temple. He sends the men, and they find the scroll. They find the word of the Lord, right? And he's furious. He's furious because judgment is upon them because his predecessors have not done, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So I'm very, very roughly paraphrasing all of 2 Kings 22. If you haven't read this, go check it out. It's really an interesting story. But applicable to tonight, we pick up in 2 Kings 23 and 4, and this goes again in the vein of what do we need to do? I think this really crystallizes and brings home the point through Josiah, who had these actions specifically to give us an idea of what we need to do. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. I'm not teaching tonight, I'm not preaching to a known issue, but there's a word here for every single person in this church tonight that aspires to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you have vessels in your temple that you need to burn, crush into a powder, and spread in the countryside? This is the question for every one of us tonight. There's a song called Burn the Ships. It's probably not the name of the song, but the guy that gives the testimony talks about I think the wife was addicted to pills. And Burn the Ships is about Cortez burning the ships and saying, we're not going back. Flush the pills, crush the idols, remove the digital addiction, remove the Facebook screen if all it does is pull you away from time in the Lord. Remove the things that you consume if they defile the temple, if they're explicitly against what the word tells us to do. If they're not healthy for your temple, remove them, crush them like Josiah did the idols to Baal. When you witness to someone, when you share God's love, when you share what God did for you, you're really kind of asking them to consider your ways. This is really what we're called to do additionally. It's not like the second time I stood up here behind this desk, I did a sermon called The Lifeboat. I don't know if anybody remembers The Lifeboat, but it was, I was praying and I had this vision of a bunch of people getting in the boat and the ship was sinking. But people got in the boat and they were sitting there. And there were so many seats with people drowning. And everybody was in the boat and they got theirs, but nobody was lending the hand. When you witness to someone, you're lending that hand and you're asking them to consider your ways, your joy, your peace, your revelation. How many people have come to me and said, what do you got going on? How do you do it? You're asking people to consider your ways, join the movement. The question is, if you invited them to your house, would you clean it up? I'm asking the same question in a different way. Would you pick up the trash? It's a silly analogy, but it's the same thing with the trash in our life. If you invited them to church and everybody was here sleeping and there was trash on the floor, would you be embarrassed? Would they come back? Consider our ways and consider your ways. If you could stand with me, I'll close. I'm going to read something that, and this is the bookend. And to the men that made our bonfire, I apologize. I'm reading what I called my manifesto again. But as I was finishing this up last night, I thought, you know what? This is the best way for me to be exposed and small and give you the root of where this came from. Because a few weeks ago, I went to a Man Up Adventure. Many of you know what that is. Nathan Thompson is the founder. And I was on the side of a mountain for a few days with 20 guys, a couple of devotion church services a day, and a whole lot of God at 10 to 12,000 feet. And the Lord told me I had to bury the thorns in my life. He did. Because I work a lot. And I've fought so hard, like I got to prove something to my family, to my brother, to my dad, because I'm the baby. And so I've always just been fighting to try and climb. And I've had this epiphany, like, who cares? What does this matter in a billion years? And by the way, a billion years from now exists. Where are you going? This is what the Lord's telling me. He said, you got to bury your thorns. So I wrote this. It's corporate. It's cheesy. But it's the conclusion. It says, I'm Kurt Coffey, the son of the Most High God, redeemed of the mercy and grace of a loving and patient and kind, good Father. I hit the button and it went away. Oh, man. I've been washed in his blood. I've been sanctified by the baptism of water and the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm the husband and lover of the most beautiful woman, Kristen Coffey. She's also a daughter of the Most High God. But I've been called to lead and to provide for her and to protect her and assure that her soul is ready on the day that she's called home. My most noble duty and calling of my father is to lead my wife and my children into the promised land. These four children, Kennedy, Weston, Oliver, and Bennett, are a treasure from heaven. They are eternal children that are a gift from God. They're mine, but for a season. But they're not really mine. They're mine to provide for, to watch, to nurture and teach, and assure their souls are ready on that day. My highest calling is to be a child of God, a husband, and a daddy. The thorns of life of this world will no longer define me. The drive to validate myself to this world with money, title, position, doesn't validate who I am as a child of the Most High God. I bury those thorns in a mountain in Colorado in July of 2020. If it's corporate and it's cheesy, I'm sorry. This is what I have to do for my temple. Because every morning I wake up and the thorns try and choke me. You know, I landed and the thorns attack me. Maybe you landed on rocks. Maybe you're lucky and you landed on the fertile soil that gets the water and it roots and it grows and it blossoms. But I get choked. And if each morning I don't wake up and I break covenants and I break agreements and I recalibrate this temple, I'm not ready. Church, I ask you to be the temple, to reconsecrate and renew tonight. The altar's open.